Have you ever thought you had everything under control, only to learn a bit too late that no one was really hearing or maybe understanding what you were asking of them? You are not alone. That is a common experience for leaders. Hey there, my name is Rox Bartel, your kick-ass coach. And this is a weekly podcast for emerging senior leaders. We seek to give you a leg up during your first 2 years in role to help you quickly master the art and practice of leadership. This is part 3 in the series on bias. If you're entering the series here, go back and listen to episode 38 for the introduction to the series, and then you can review episodes 39 and 40 at your leisure. Quick recap though, researchers and writers like Kahneman, Langer, McRaney, Senge, and the NeuroLeadership Institute offer great stories and insights to help us mitigate the negative impacts our biases are having. And yet, most of us fail miserably at breaking the hold they have over us. The researchers at NeuroLeadership Institute argue we need to first accept that we are inherently biased and learn to label them. They argue the label will help us easily recognize them when they are imposing themselves over us. But to do anything about them, we need to start creating and applying strategies to attack them head on. And it is harder than it sounds. Impact Bank's diversity program includes work on bias, and we work with organizations and leadership teams to attack them head on and learn approaches to maximize the opportunity that comes with diversity. And then we help develop strategies to minimize the damage caused by our inherent biases that keep us thinking small. It's been fascinating for me over the last 17 years of my career as I've immersed myself periodically in the research and application of diversity thinking in the workplace and seeing the shifts and changes as the research has evolved has been immensely helpful. In episode 38, we looked at the idea of bias broadly, and I shared a few definitions. Now, I've been building on and adapting one of my favorites each week, so here's this week's edition. Biases are inner voices that try to control how we see the world. They are the invisible, annoying person sitting on our shoulders as we navigate our day, exerting their influence when we least expect it. Even when we laugh at them or try to ignore them, it's impossible. They are chameleons who change according to what will influence us most that day, pushing us to make quick, efficient judgments and decisions with minimal cognitive energy so our brain can focus elsewhere. And as a result, biases influence us and everyone around us by impacting every decision we make. In episode 39, we explored confirmation bias, and last week we explored anchoring. Today, we'll be looking at the bias known as illusion of control. Let's step back a second and define it clearly, though. The illusion of control is the tendency for people to overestimate their own ability to control events. For example, it occurs when someone feels a sense of control over outcomes that they demonstrably do not influence. Interestingly, this is one referred to as a positive illusion because it is what keeps us fighting or trying when things look hopeless to others who are outside our illusion. Dr. Ellen Langer, whose work I first came across when working with leaders on mindfulness back in the 90s, talks about how this positive illusion impacts the quality of life and life expectancy of seniors. And it's fascinating work. You can find her books in the library to learn more. So, since this is so positive and life-affirming, how can this bias create problems for you as a leader? Well, it is the mechanism that keeps your brain making sense of things and believing it's helping sometimes long after it really is. As a leader, you may use this bias as the justification for being controlling, which sometimes feels good. I had a big awakening one day, about 7 years ago. Like most senior leaders, I liked to believe when I set a standard in place, people would honor it, or at least tell me when they disagreed. I know some may have complained behind my back about my questions and my checks and balances. I called it persistent follow-up. I had learned to do this to avoid being a micromanager. It fueled my illusion of control, unfortunately. And it likely made me a little less vigilant and maybe more trusting, I suppose, which is a good thing. And then, of course, you have these moments when you learn the hard way about the illusion that control really is. It came first to my attention when the senior office administrator came to me one day to share a disturbing story she had heard from clients. I knew it couldn't be true because of the security protocol that I had put in place for the clinic. It had been a safety provision to ensure this conflict or exposure of private information just wouldn't be possible. My stomach was just in knots as I heard the complaints, but quickly I realized it had to be a misunderstanding. I had put controls in place. It was important to act on the possibility, though. So I asked for some confirmation, and I spoke to a few of the people who were bringing the allegation forward, and it still didn't sound plausible to me. I couldn't see how this could have happened. I decided not to get too complacent, though. I immediately shut down a few possible leaking points to be cautious, and then I did a full review of all possible weaknesses in our system. I couldn't find anything. I felt sure everything had to be a misunderstanding. But privacy matters were a badge of honor for me, so I didn't want to let it go just yet. I called the president of the IT support firm that I had contracted, and I asked him if he would have an audit done. Within 24 hours, he got back to me and told me that all the protocols I had approved were being followed in terms of access to the system. So I was a bit relieved, but something still seemed strange. So I asked him to send me the most recent protocols he was testing it against. And I don't even know to this day why I thought to ask that. After reviewing them with the senior office administrator, we found something interesting. There had been a control I had insisted upon in the clinic reception space to ensure students couldn't access certain things when they were there doing a rotation. This appeared to have been changed in the protocol. I picked up the phone to call the IT company to find out when this had happened and how. They reviewed everything and got back to me within the hour to say it had happened after the last audit, and it appeared it had been requested by the clinic coordinator and that the IT company's agent who had done the audit had changed it at her request. This may sound strange, but I have the same queasy feeling right now as I'm telling you this story as I did when I first learned. During the initial review that I had conducted when first the allegations came to my attention, I had specifically asked the clinic coordinator exactly this question on whether there was any way she could think of that the protocol had been broken in the last student rotation. She assured me it had not. And frankly, every experience that I had had with this employee had been good, so I trusted what she told me. I knew that the last time that I had authorized a change in protocol had been about 2 years earlier, and that I had made some concessions to make the rotations more valuable for students at this clinic coordinator's suggestion, and I had emphasized to her the importance of closely managing these new protocols to protect our obligations to clients, students, the clinic, and the program as a whole. She did express how she thought I was still being too rigid, but she agreed to monitor them and ensure that they were maintained. Now, I had to confront her about going behind my back and changing the protocols that I had authorized without consulting me. Of course, the president of the IT company was shocked at his people's breach of protocol, given they changed it without my authorization, and he could see it in the notes. There went my illusion of control. And for that moment, all illusions were broken. Leaders will do well to mitigate the impact of their own biases. And at Impact Bank, we help new leaders recognize the importance of monitoring the long and powerful shadow you cast. Check out this week's blog post, www.impactbank.ca/coaching/blog, where I expand on the bias we know as the illusion of control. And I will take some time to outline a bias we often refer to as illusory superiority. I know, as a senior leader, you often feel the pressure to make quick, decisive decisions. And when you do that from the perspective of your biases, even those we refer to as positive illusions, you will not make the most productive decisions simply by taking more time. Time to look at a few more options and seek more perspectives will you make the wisest choices. Yes, it may be annoying, even disappointing to people, but consulting and reflecting before decisions will actually allow you to make better decisions that support your people and all stakeholders you serve. Next time, have you ever been totally misunderstood? Perhaps you were being mistaken for the straw man. Don't miss it. I'm Rox Bartel. Make it a kick-ass week.